Judah. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the preaching of the word this morning. You are the God who speaks. Lord, you are not an idol who has mouth but does not speak. You are not like an idol who has eyes but does not see. But Lord, we thank you that you see and you act. And even this morning, Lord, you have seen and therefore you have released a word to your people. We pray that you would speak to us this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Say, the word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Hallelujah. What a powerful confession. I'm sure you've heard the saying, from zero to hero. A number of times that has been used regarding the rand, our currency. Everybody says, man, the currency of South Africa has been the case of from zero to hero. In the sense that at some point we're sitting at 1 to 19 with the US dollar. But now we are sitting at probably 1 to 16.3. She knows her currency. 1 to 16 to be accurate. That's the story of from zero to hero, isn't it? But on the flip side, you also hear from hero to zero. Where you were at a certain point and stuff happened. So the first statement typically refers to someone who has been beaten down but somehow managed to recover. Whilst the other refers to someone who had everything going for them and somehow things started going awry. I don't know which of those statements accurately describes your current situation. Now, if your life has been one of going from hero to zero, I want you to know that there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. There's a God of the comebacks. I want you to be excited about God's word this morning. There's a God of the resurrection. When Jesus died, everybody thought this is it. This man was a fake. This man was not the person he claimed to be. But he had promised them that destroy this temple and after 3 days I will rebuild it. Glory be to God. He told them, I will give you the sign of Jonah, who was in the belly of a fish. But after 3 days, he was spewed out. I want you to know that your situation can turn around. Hallelujah. My situation can turn around. The situation of this church can turn around. Not because of what you do, but because of the one who is alive today. Glory be to God. I was listening to a song with my daughter the other day coming from the gym. And the title of this album, it came up on my Spotify. The title of this song was, I'm Not Alright, God. Literally, the title of the song was, I Am Not Alright, God. And we listened to this song like, that song sounds a bit depressing. And she went into the rest of the album. And we actually found that this man was really going through a rough time. And one of the songs was, I don't know how to keep going. The other one was, meet me in my broken place. When my heart, another song on the same album, when my heart can't take it. And then another one is, I'm not all right, God rest on me. Another one says, my heart can't take it anymore. I don't know if that's the type of songs that you listen to. But it could be a reflection of where you're at. And I say to my daughter, I don't think you can sing that song in a worship session. That song is a me song with God. When you're all by yourself, you need to be honest with the Lord. And tell him, I can't take it no more. Sometimes we are too strong for God to come and help us. And yet God says, in your weaknesses, my strength is made perfect. And I want to talk to somebody who's been very strong. And to you gentlemen, you've been told men don't cry. But that thing doesn't work before God. Men cry before God. Am I talking to somebody today? Lord, I can't take it no more. My heart is broken. But I want you to understand, it doesn't matter where you find yourself, God will find you there. God will find you there. Now, this morning I want to introduce a series that will be going on for the coming weeks. You know my story. I don't know how long this series is going to take, but we're going to get going. Glory be to God. And the title of this series is From Rubble to Radiance. Amen. Hallelujah. From Rubble to Radiance. And this morning I just want to introduce this story. You see, there are times when the devil comes and he burns down our lives. And we are left with rubbles around. And I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands if there are rubbles around you. But I know each and every one of us has got rubbles around us. We know when people say we all have got skeletons in the cupboard. This happens to varying degrees. But the reality is, when you look at your life, I don't think everybody can say everything is hunky-dory for me. Your fridge might be working, but maybe your dog is unhappy. Come on now. Your bank account might be okay, but your boss is like the brother of the devil. Whenever you go to work, you dare. You're like, I'm just going to go because I need the charity. I need the money. But I'm not enjoying my workplace. From rubble to radiance. Sometimes this happens because God is calling your attention. Sometimes our lives go through an accident because the Lord is saying, I need you. I need you to pay attention to me. Some people will tell you God will never allow that to happen. No, what type of a God allowed his own son to be butchered on the cross? There are things that God will do in order to draw our attention. But there are also times where it is the sheer enemy coming to do things in our lives. This year we are running with the theme of kingdom builders. And it is important for you to know that God is in the business of rebuilding lives. I want my life to be rebuilt. I want things in my life to be restored to a greater dimension than they were before. Hallelujah. So God will rebuild your life. Regardless of the level of devastation you're going through today, there is hope. Hallelujah. You know, in one of our prayer meetings on Friday, we read from Romans chapter 4, where the Bible talks about our father Abraham. The Bible says, though he was facing a hopeless situation, yet without losing hope, he did not waver in his faith. From rubble to radiance. Somebody must believe that my situation can be turned around. Hallelujah. So when we talk about rubble to radiance, we are referring to the process of going through a journey from pain to healing. A journey from loss to renewal. A journey from weakness to strength. And where there's rubble in your life, God will radiate his glory another day. My day of glory is coming. Hallelujah. Sometimes we look at people and we feel like, it looks like God has got favorites. Don't you think like that sometimes? You've been praying for something for years, but it looks like that thing is not moving. But other people pray short prayers and things just happen. Other churches just grow like that. And for you, you've been toiling for years and years and nothing seems to be happening. But I want you to know, the God who called you is faithful. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody today? From loss to renewal. Now, you're saying to me, but Pastor, what does this have to do with Ezra? You're intelligent. Let's go there. Now, we read from the book of Ezra. And this book was written by Ezra himself. So it's important for us to understand how to do Bible study. Okay? How many of us here have got Bibles? Study Bibles. Study Bibles. I'm not talking about just any study Bibles. You'll know just the two, three. Study Bibles, study Bibles. Okay, guys. Let me just give you a piece of advice. This month, going into March, instead of going to McDonald's or KFC or Rocco Mamas, just put aside 600 rand and buy a study Bible. Okay? So those of you who do not lift their hands, I'm going to check on you again, end of March, and I want to see if you bought your study Bible. I bought this study Bible in 2016. Well, it was a gift from my pastor. So, an expensive Bible, by the way. So please, go and invest in a study Bible so that you understand what you're reading, the background around the story. So the story of Ezra, so please just hang in there with me. I want to just lay the foundations. We want to go somewhere around from rabble to radiance. So Ezra wrote the book of Ezra, and he wrote it to a specific people. He didn't write it to everybody. He wrote it to people that were returning from captivity, who were back in Jerusalem. Okay, where were they coming from? They had been captured by the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. He had come and he besieged Judah, and he took God's people into captivity in a land called Babylon. And now Ezra was writing to those who had gone back after years of being in captivity. Hallelujah. Do you know that your life can be in captivity for a long time, but there's a time coming when the Lord will come and redeem your captivity. Hallelujah. The Bible says when the Lord returned our captivity, we were like those who were dreaming. When you go through a rough patch in your life and the Lord turns it around, it's like you're dreaming. Your dream will come one day where you're like, I don't know how it happened. I thought it would never happen. Hallelujah. Now, they went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. So Ezra writes this to those people to encourage them to keep building God's house, to encourage them to go back to true worship, to encourage them to restore true worship in their midst. That is why the book of Ezra was written. So where we read, we came across Cyrus, the king of Persia, one of the empires around Babylon, who had a visitation from God. Hallelujah. Now, track along with me so that you understand where we are going. Now, the king of Persia, by the name of Cyrus, had been prophesied about by Isaiah more than 100 years before this event. The prophet Isaiah had spoken about God raising his servant by the name of Cyrus, who was going to go and rebuild his house. The Lord says through Isaiah, though you do not know me, but I'm going to use you. I want you to know that in your life, there are people that God will use that don't even know you from a piece of soap. They don't have to know you. They just need God to choose them. So God comes to Cyrus, and he stirs up the heart of Cyrus. We're talking about from rabble to radiance. Ezra 1 verse 2, the Bible says, Jehovah, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. So this man did not need anything. He was okay. He was good. And yet Jehovah comes to him, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. You need to understand the context that this was a conquering emperor. This was the same people that had captured God's people from Jerusalem, from Judah, from Israel, and took them into Babylon as captives. And now God comes, and he speaks and he whispers in the ears of Cyrus, and he brings it into his heart to go and rebuild what his predecessor had destroyed. Don't tell me God does not do miracles. Don't tell me God cannot change your life around. The Bible says he laid a table before my enemies. I want you to know that whatever the enemy has done, there's nothing that is too hard for God to redo, for God to restore. Hallelujah. That's the story of Ezra. At that time, the temple was non-existent. And there was no worship taking place. I want you to know that the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple had triggered profound religious, political, and cultural crisis amongst Jewish people. There was no place to worship anymore. Why? Because King Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed the temple. Now, I want you to know that there's something significant here about the temple of God. When you read scriptures, and I've told you, you must walk slowly through the corridors of scriptures. Because when you walk slowly, you can question what you are reading. Now, for me, the first thing that comes to mind is, here is a king, the king of Persia, whose predecessor had destroyed this nation. And he rises up and says, the God of the Jews has appeared to me. And he said to me, go back and rebuild my temple. There's something unique here. He did not say, God told me to go and rebuild the houses that we destroyed. He did not say, God told me to buy you back the cars that you lost. He did not say, God told me to ensure that you marry again because you've lost so many wives. No, he said, God appeared to me and he has stirred up my heart to go and build his temple. I want you to know that the temple of God is more important than anything you can acquire for yourself. Now, I always want to anchor this in our contemporary environment. Now, trek along. In our contemporary environment, it is like having the crown prince of Abu Dhabi, Sheikh Khalid bin Mohammed, saying, the Lord has laid it upon my heart to go and build the temple in Jerusalem. In our contemporary world, that is what it would mean. Where Sheikh Khalid bin Mohammed says, the God of the Jews has stirred my heart to go across, to go and build a temple for him. Bearing in mind that the Sheikh is a Muslim. He's not a Jew. Cyrus was a pagan king. He was not a worshiper of the God of Israel. But the God of Israel was too strong that he could get through into the heart of a pagan king. Don't tell me God cannot touch lives around you. Come on now, don't tell me God cannot change your grandma who's been accused of witchcraft. Don't tell me God cannot change your neighbor who doesn't give you sleep at night because he's playing music all night. God can do that. Come on now. We all don't have angels as neighbors. He touched a pagan king to rebuild his temple. And let me emphasize, not to rebuild the houses of the Jews. Not to rebuild their schools. Not to rebuild their hospitals. Not to rebuild their roads. Not to rebuild their bridges that were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. God said to him, it is time to restore true worship. Hallelujah. God is concerned about worship. In other words, the moment we get worship right, everything else will become right. Maybe you missed that. If we get worship right, everything else will become right. That is why Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is it about the temple? What is it about the temple? Let's look at the significance of the temple for a moment. In the Jewish culture, the temple was central to their life of worship. If you destroyed the temple, the lives of the Jews were meaningless. Number one, the temple symbolized God's presence among his people. When you take away the temple, you take away the presence of God. And Moses said, if your presence does not go with me, then don't take us from here. Hallelujah. If your temple is not with us, then don't take us away from here. Hallelujah. I want you to see the value of the temple. It symbolized God's presence among his people. Number two, it enabled the existence and continuation of the covenant relationship with God. Remember, God is a God of the covenant. In the Old Testament, it was the old covenant which was premised on rituals. It was premised on you've got to burn sacrifices, you've got to slaughter animals, you've got to sprinkle the blood, you've got to burn everything for you to come close to God and to enact the covenant. Does somebody hear me this morning? It enabled the existence and continuation of the covenant relationship with God. That's why the temple was so important, that God even had to touch the heart of a pagan king. Number three, the temple was the focal point for both national and individual prayer. That is why wherever the Jews are located, in the times of prayer, they would face to Jerusalem and they would pray. Those who are close to the temple, they would go to the temple courts and they would pray. Take the temple away, you remove prayer. That is why God went to Cyrus. Cyrus, it is time. I need to restore prayer amongst my people. It was the focal point for both national and individual prayer. Is the temple in your house today? You're going to be asking now, Pastor, are you talking about a physical shrine? No. Trek along with me. Number four. The temple represented holiness and unity between God and his people. Remember, in the temple, that is where the sin sacrifice was offered. That is where the atonement sacrifice was done. When animal was slaughtered and blood would be spilled, resulting in the significant covering of the sins of the Jews. It represented holiness and unity between God and his people. Take away the temple, you removed an opportunity to walk in holiness and sacredness. That is why God even had to reach a pagan king to restore the temple. Now today, when we talk about the temple, what are we referring to? Are we talking about the four walls of this building? Are we talking about the synagogues down the road? Are we talking about these multi-million church buildings? Is that what we're referring to? No. Today we are talking about you and I. We are talking about the body of believers as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And all of those things that I've mentioned, I want you to understand that is what it needs to be found in me and in you. That's why I went to town to say it symbolizes God's presence among his people. Is your body in a place where you can carry the presence of God with you wherever you go? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. The Bible says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You are the temple. We are the temple of God. We are no longer looking for a temple in Jerusalem. We are the temple. When I go to work, the temple has arrived. Hallelujah. When I talk to my kids, the temple is talking to my kids. When I come to church, I bring the temple with me. It is not this temple that we visit. When we come together, we are that temple. Is prayer found in the temple? Is holiness found in the temple? Your body belongs to God, and it is in your body that worship ought to take place. King Cyrus, go and rebuild my temple. The Lord today is saying, rebuild my temple. Do something with your body so that when I come, I can find comfort in you. your body, my body, does not belong to me anymore. When people look at me, do they see the glory of God or they see rubble? When people listen to you and me, do they hear the voice of God or they hear the voice of accusation? From rubble to radiance. That is the life of a believer. I want you to understand that through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, a shift happened whereby the worship is no longer a worship taking place in a physical temple, but now the worship takes place inside of me. Mark 15 verse 37, the Bible says, but Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Why did this happen? We no longer needed the veil. The veil stopped everybody from entering into the Holy of Holies, into the place where you can face the Shekinah glory of God around the Ark of God. And Jesus said, away with these rituals. I'm making a way so that my people become the Holy of Holies. Is my life a Holy of Holies? Jesus died on the cross to transfer temple worship from a physical location to you, the body of Christ. What are we waiting for? Are we waiting for permission to worship God? No. Jesus came and he took away the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Remember, David says, I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. I'll enter his courts with praise. That's where most people would end. Nobody could enter into the Holy of Holies, but you and I, today, through the blood of Jesus, we have access to God. Therefore, I must handle myself as the most sacred person on earth. As the most holy person on earth. There's something that should not come out of my mouth. Why? Because I carry the Shekinah glory of God. I contain the anointing. Hallelujah. It's not about the shaking that happens when people fall. It's about the walking. It's about the practice. It's about daily routine. It's about what I do when somebody cuts in on me. I get angry sometimes. I forget that I'm a pastor. Or rather, I forget that I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Before we fail as pastors, we fail as Christians. Hear me good this morning. It's not about that pastor has fallen. That Christian, that believer has fallen. Before you're an usher, you're a child of God. You fall as a Christian before you fall as an usher or as a worship team member. So Jesus said, it is finished. All the rituals are done. You now have access into the throne room of God. Cyrus says, I'm going to go back and build the temple of God that was in ruins. It was just rubble. No worship was taking place on the mountain. No sacrifice was happening there. Why? Because it was in ruins. It was in rubbles. And this morning I want you to understand that worship will stop in our bodies and in our churches when our bodies are in a state of decay. When the church is in a state of decay, it doesn't matter how musically good we can sound, it's not worship. Put this down. No proper worship can take place when the temple is in ruins. Where are you at today? In other words, the state of your heart and the state of your body determines the quality of worship that takes place there. They could not worship because the temple had been razed down by Nebuchadnezzar. And nobody was allowed to rebuild because the temple was seen as a sign of rebellion. So Babylon and the Persian empires saw the temple of God and the walls around Jerusalem as a state of rebellion. And this morning I want you to know, every time you worship God, in the eyes of the enemy, you are rebellious. Yes. That is how you are coined or identified by the demonic entities. And because of that, they were not allowed to rebuild the temple. They were not allowed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Those who tried, you see, as we go through Ezra, they even reported those who tried to rebuild the temple that they are now becoming rebellious again. These people are rising up again. Who do you listen to about your worship? Who do we listen to regarding the way we should worship? How long we should be in the presence of the Lord? We listen to TikTok. 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 Don't spend too much time with God. TikTok. You're wasting time. The notifications are coming up every time. That is why some of us here need to switch off our phones when it is time to pray. Because it's as if when you pray, that's where you receive the most notifications. Hello, can somebody testify? Attest to that. That's when you garner a lot of views on your social handles. And they come up, they pop up. Why? You are being rebellious to the system of Babylon. You are being rebellious to the system of this world. No, it's not allowed. Who do you listen to regarding your worship? I don't like that church. They always sing English songs. I don't like that church. They always sing vernacular songs. Who do you listen to regarding your worship? The Bible says it's not about where you worship, but the Lord is seeking those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Am I talking to somebody this morning? No proper worship can take place when the temple is in ruins. So the temple played a major role in God connecting with His people. Pastor Luan, listen to me good. Your body plays a major role in connecting your spirit man with God. Whatever is done in your body determines the quality of the relationship, determines the quality and the strength of that bond between you and God. If I handle myself like the temple of idols, there is no way my relationship with God would be of any quality. So the temple has always been the point of contact between divinity and humanity. I want you to understand that. Now that you know that this body that you are in, it has always been the point of contact between humanity and divinity. Pastor, where are you taking that from? Let's take it from the beginning. Since God created Adam and Eve, He always wanted to dwell among men. And by so doing, He instructed men to create a point of contact called the temple. And the first temple was the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, in the breeze of the day, God would come down and He would commune with men. So the Garden of Eden was a place of meeting between God and humanity. It was a place of intersection. It was a place of intimacy where God would commune with men. That is why when man fell, he wanted to run away from his position. And God comes down and He said, Adam, where are you? And I want you to know, God is always looking. He has always wanted to relate with man. And He would come down looking for us. He would come down looking for a place where He can commune with us. He instructed man to work the garden, just like priests work in His house today. That is the first temple we see. And just like in the Garden of Eden, we see God pursuing His people even in the desert. They left Egypt. I'm fast forward now into the time of their redemption from Egypt. Those who don't know, Israel was in Egypt and they were slaves. They were abused until God used Moses to deliver them out of Egypt and he promised them a land called Canaan. So between Egypt and Canaan, God said, I want to be with you. I want you to know that God does not need you, but he wants you. God does not need our worship, but he wants it. He can do without our worship, but he wants our worship. So as he was walking with his people from Egypt to Canaan, he comes to Moses and says, hey, Mo, I need you to build a tabernacle for me so that I can dwell amongst my people. Go and read that from Exodus chapter 25 all the way to 27, where Moses was up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and God was giving him the blueprints, the dimensions, the colors, the positioning of how the tabernacle was going to be built. And he told him, Moses, you shall build it exactly the way I showed you. I want you to know that God wants you to live your life exactly the way he shows you. The tabernacle in the desert was an opportunity for God to come amongst his people. And God dwelt amongst them. And this morning, God still wants to dwell among us. Even in the difficult times of walking in the desert, I want you to know that it was not by God's design, it was not the intended objective for Moses and his people to spend 40 years in the desert. No. But due to their unfaithfulness, God prolonged their stay in the desert. Listen to me good. There are some places we will stay longer than we should have because of our unfaithfulness. Some of you should have moved, but we've been failing the test all along. God says, you're not yet ready for Canaan. You're not yet ready for an increase financially because the little bit I've given you, I haven't seen it. Hello, somebody? Let me say that again. There are some of you who should have been promoted financially, but because God hasn't seen anything coming out of the little you have now, he says, let's still deal with that little. And we're busy cursing the devil. And the devil says, no, I have nothing to do with that issue. It's between you and your God. Now, in the desert of our lives, we must still offer worship. Put this down. God wants to experience uninterrupted fellowship with you, even during your difficult seasons. I know people, not you in this church, when things are difficult, when things are hard, they stop worshiping. They curse God. We go look for answers somewhere else. But even in the desert, God said to Moses, I need to tabernacle amongst my people. I want to dwell amongst my people because they are still my people. Even though they are rebellious, they are mine. And he stayed amongst them. So worship must continue in all seasons of your life. Keep your body in a state that allows worship to be continuous. Trekking forward after 40 years, wandering in the desert, finally they arrived in the promised land. They came in the promised land that God had promised. And I want you to take note that the people who entered the promised land, except for Joshua and Caleb, were the second generation. It wasn't the first generation. Even Moses died on Mount Pisgah, buried by an angel. They don't even know where he died because God took him, says, Mo, it's you, between you and me, leave the people. He took him up to the mountain and killed him, buried him, Moses. They don't know where Moses was buried. And I'm saying this morning, the people who left Egypt did not enter Canaan, except for Caleb and Joshua. Why? Those were the two that were faithful. When the people, after a couple of months, when they were at the verge of entering the promised land, those are the two who proclaimed, our God is faithful, he'll give us this land. And everybody else says, no. When they entered into the promised land, Caleb stood up and says, "Hey, Josh, give me the land that God promised me. Though I am old, I still have strength to gain that land for myself." When they got into the promised land, one would think, now that we have arrived, there's no need for worship. Do we still need the temple? We are now in Canaan, a land that flows with milk and honey. Do we need to bother about worship? Come on now, God has just promoted you. Pastor, don't you know I'm now a director at work? They need me on Sunday morning. Okay, director, ban. Enjoy your directorship. They entered the promised land that flowed with milk and honey. Listen to me, God deserves our worship during our heydays, during our tough times, because He is God. Hallelujah. I want you to know something this morning. It is not what God does that makes Him God. Let me repeat that. Preach, preacher. It's not what God does that makes Him to be God. Whether He does good or He does not do good, He remains God. Therefore, we worship God even when He answers our prayers or even when He doesn't answer our prayers. I don't want a God who can only be worshipped when He has done good. I want a God who is worshipped in all seasons. In my winter, I will worship Him. In my summer, I will worship Him. Why? Because He is God. Don't run away from God when there's death coming your way. There are many people who say, "God, if you are such a loving God, why did you allow this to happen? Why did you allow my mother to die? Whose mother did you want to die?" Yeah, I just said it. Yes. Whose father did you want to die? Whose grandma? Hey, grandma. And not yours. Listen to me, Bazalwane. God is God. Regardless of what happened last night. God is God. Regardless of what has been happening in your life. Because He is God. Hallelujah. Again, God comes and He promises a temple. God wants to be worshipped. He deserves our worship. God comes and He promises David that his son will build the temple. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12. This is God. Now David understood the heart of God. And he had gone to Nathan the prophet. And he had told him, "Nathan, I want to build a tabernacle for my God." And God said to Nathan, "Go tell that boy. I know you've got a good heart, but your hands are too dirty." He said, "Your hands are full of blood. And I'm not going to allow you to build me a house." Listen to me. There are things that we do that will disqualify us from His presence. There are thoughts that we carry that disqualify us from breakthroughs. But God is gracious. He said, "David, I know your heart, but I'm not going to allow you, because you have shed too much blood. I will allow your son to build me a glorious house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom." Verse 13, "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So God still wanted a dwelling place amongst his people in Canaan. So King Solomon built a magnificent temple for God. And I want you to know, Solomon went broke. He did not withhold anything in building a glorious temple for the Lord. It took him 7 years to build a glorious temple. He went into alliances with kings in order to get everything that he needed. Hallelujah. Today, what are we prepared to do? To build a tabernacle for God. Now, he spared no expense in building the temple. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. Are you getting something this morning? I'm talking about from rubble to radiance. How does that come together? Just come to church next week and you'll get it. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. The Bible says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace. Verse 12, the Lord appeared to him at night. Whenever we set ourselves up for a time of worship, whenever we put aside time, resources, in order to concentrate on him, the attention of God is drawn. And the Bible says, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. Verse 13, something good happens when we worship. Hallelujah. Something beautiful happens to a family that understands true worship. When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. In this body, when somebody is sold out for God, when somebody lays aside everything for the sake of the gospel, when somebody says, I am a sacred person, when somebody says, I am holy and set apart for God, something beautiful happens. Put this down. When true worship is observed, the blessing of God is present and felt by all. When true worship is found in your body, there's something that the enemy cannot do in your life. Why? The Bible says, touch not the anointing. You have an anointing because you are a place of worship. You don't have an anointing because of your title. Your level of anointing is in line with the level of worship that happens in your body. It's not about this title, major one, major two, major six. It doesn't matter how many majors you have. If there's no worship in your body, dololo anointing. Does somebody hear me this morning? And Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And this is your only reasonable service unto the Lord. We carry the Holy Spirit. And today the message was, you are valuable. You are a treasure. Though you are earthen vessel on the outside, but when you position yourself in that moment of worship, you become an instrument in the hands of God. The temple of God. We're going to stop there this morning. Let's stand on our feet. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Worship, worship, worship needs to come, needs to rise up from our bodies, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been carrying yourself anyhow, not realizing that you are the temple of the living God. This morning, let there be a mind shift. Don't allow your temple, the temple of God, to be abused. Why? Because he wants worship to take place. So for a moment, I want you to pray and commit your life and accept the calling of God over your life as a temple of the living God. Come on, let's pray for a moment. Pray for yourself today and just declare that, Lord, I acknowledge that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge that I am yours and you want worship. And Lord, I avail myself for true worship to rise up in my life. Lord God Almighty, I allow true worship to rise up in my life, oh God. Father God, deliver me in the name of Jesus from trading this temple with things that are not of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want to present myself, Lord. As a church, Lord, we present ourselves In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we pray this morning that you would come and do something with us. You do something of the Spirit within us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are valuable. We are yours and we belong to you. Father, you have always wanted to be with man. You have always wanted to be with humanity. And Father, let our bodies give you access, Father God, to fellowship with us. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for your grace this morning.